Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? You heard it. It is that time again. Once again, it is that time. I will say it is a new year. Same president, but a new year. Welcome to the K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am the person that is commonly known as the son, and you are, lady.
I am the mother of the person commonly known as K. Thompson. K. Thompson Live, everyone, welcome, and happy holidays. I hope everybody had a great holiday. I know we did, except for the snow.
More, a little bit of snow.
A little bit.
More of the cold.
Yeah, boy. I mean, you know, down to zero and down to below zero. Wow, I'm telling you, really, really awful weather. And we're even beginning to get a lot of snow, I understand, again tonight. So everybody should bundle up and make sure that you are super warm. We were in the city yesterday, and I said, wow, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad, really, Eric, that I don't work in New York City anymore because it's just so crowded.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime, super cold.
Super cold in the winter?
Super
as
cold.
Opposed to
as opposed to
let's go in and bring in our co-host and resident guest, our co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Happy New Year.
Right. Happy New Year to you both, to all, to everyone. Byron as well. Is he there?
Not yet.
Yeah, Byron as well. You said it like an afterthought, like Brother Byron was. Yeah, that's my man.
No.
We'll bring him in right now. Here he is, Byron Saunders. What's up, bro?
Well, Happy New Year to you, Wayne, Eric, and my leader, my true leader, the Madam of Radio herself. The one, 46. The only, K. Thompson Live. Oh, my God. Oh, yes.
Byron, I'm so
yes?
happy that you recognize who is the queen. I can't about this because Eric wants to talk about Trump. And I'm sick and tired of talking about that poor man.
Poor man.
No, he's wealthy and money, but. Everything else, he's really not a joke, but it's really sad, and it's just sad for the country. I hope he doesn't get us into a war.
Yeah, he could annihilate the entire planet. Isn't that a nice thought to think about? But, you know, part of us doing this show together, you know, I like to talk politics and can't help but talking it. That's the household I was brought up in, politics and culture and art.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can't help but talking. I'm sure you guys got something to say about, boy, some sparks going on today. I think we should just all stand back and let them have at it, boy, and put your money on your favorite racist. I myself am Team Bannon because at least he's got something that he believes in. The other guy is not really. He just believes in himself. So I'm going with Team Bannon, calling it like he saw it. Fortunately, he got there after the meetings with the Russians, so he was able to blow the whistle on everybody. I'm loving it. What do y'all think? It's an exciting time.
It's not a joke.
To be an
really.
American.
It's also a dangerous
It's
time.
Not a joke, yeah. It's a gentlemen, your thoughts. I'm sure you have plenty.
Okay.
I'll weigh in on it. Trump versus Bannon sounds to me like WWF in Madison Square Garden. Now, who's got the buttons? Buttons, buttons. Who's got the buttons? If my button is bigger than your button, I think. I don't know, but can we measure?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Unbelievable, right, Wayne?
I'm just, you know, I mean, the thing is, this is the mediocrity that we have come down to now.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Whose button is bigger? And I would like to say some other things, but I can't. Because I have too much respect for your mother. I respect your mother, too. I respect Kay Thompson. Yes.
Well, you know, when people are really living, you know, they talk about people living in the gutter. you know, the former fabulous first lady, the real first lady, Michelle, talked about when they go low, we go high. And this is the opposite administration. This is the reality show presidency, because it's like a reality show, right? Someone says something about me, he's got to say something about them. And when you're living as a lowbrow person and you're not above everything, you don't have any confidence, you got to respond to every little thing. Because people who really know their worth, people who know that are confident and know that they can do the things that they say they can do, they don't have to blow their own horn. They don't have to do that. You know, and what does a big dog do when a little dog barks? Just look at him. Like, oh, you poor thing. That's what people that are really confident and are really secure in themselves do. They don't bother themselves. That's why people say this guy's not presidential, because he's always in the gutter. And I was talking about my sister earlier today, and it makes me think about the family he was brought up in. They must be very lowbrow rich people. You know, like they say, new money. You know, because he acts like he's just a regular Joe who got rich. He acts like he has no class, not like someone who's brought up with money, like he allegedly was, who was brought up with wealth. He acts like someone who just won the lotto. Remember back in the day when my man won the first New York lotto, my man Curtis, whatever his name was?
Yeah.
And he did the commercial the next time, $5 million. You know,
exactly.
And a lot of times when you have the lotto winners, it's new money, right? People just coming into money. So, you know, we all know that people that are brought up with money, brought up with that whole culture and that whole vibe, they have a certain decorum about them. Usually they have a certain class. And Trump shows that not only does he not have class, we begin to wonder about the family he was brought up in. Do they have any class?
Well, the only thing I want to say to that is that his father had such a tremendous influence on him that it's not even about the family. You know, they might have been normal, upper middle income white folks who lived in a very segregated community in Southeast Queens called Jamaica Estates. Only now, within the last 30 or 40 years, has that community been integrated. Back when Trump was there with his family, you know, it was predominantly white. And the thing is, his whole world has been white. I don't think he's had any interaction with any blacks other than Amorosa, the young lady from the show. And with all due respect, Larry Hazard said he had a relationship with him. Thing is that there is a cultural disconnect with Trump, and his father was from what I've read, was a blatant racist, and he instilled these common-like values with his son. And unfortunately, I also think that there's a bit of bipolar behavior here. I mean, it has not been documented, but the speculation is rampant. And and you know, and then you come off with this sophomoric, well, my button is bigger than yours, you know, crap. You know, it was like my finger was bigger than what's his name down there in Florida a year ago. Yeah. You know, what's this all about? Locker room talk.
Well, you know what's so sad about this is and funny at the same time and not funny, but I'm waiting for Amorosa to tell what she knows. Now you will see the black woman scorn come out. I'm just waiting for that. She's waiting for it. I think she has a very, very packing story to tell.
Really?
Now,
well, I think the Michael Wolff book
is
required reading now.
She is on the inside, and she's about ready to destroy him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about... Maybe that's what she was put there for. Who knows?
I don't necessarily know whether I don't know if
she has all the information that she says she has.
Yeah, I don't think she does. I think she was a very low level person.
Don't scorn a black woman though.
Yeah, I think that other black women aren't going to be claiming her though.
No, we don't claim her at all.
You know, I don't think that. I mean, she could be scorned. Apparently, she's been scorned. She was scoring on the TV show when she played, when she decided to play the B-I-T-C-H character.
Right.
And I don't think there's any sisters that really are claiming her. You know, they're actually talking. Remember, we were talking last night.
Her negativeness is coming in handy, though, right?
I guess, but I don't think that her book is going to be more interesting than Steve Bannon, who really had, you know, who really had a real influence on the campaign. Omarosa was just there to window dressing. I think my opinion is Omarosa was there as window dressing
on social
for black
part
people.
Of his social life, but she was
right.
You know, she was like the in-house slave.
Right.
Okay.
Well, she was to generate
that.
The black.
But, you know. Yeah, right. But see, she can destroy him. I think she can really destroy him if she has all that kind of information. Okay, if not, so what?
You know, the only way I think she destroys him, Ma, is she says, "I'm pregnant with."
Oh yeah. Oh please.
Please. She does her press conference with. Picture this. She does. Hold on. Picture this. She does her press conference with Gloria Allred coming out. And Omarosa, Gloria's going to say, and I'm here representing Omarosa and Manigault Steel, whatever 1,800 million names she got. And Omarosa, come on out. Omarosa's going to come out with a basketball in her shirt, said, I have something to say about the president.
I'm president.
Yeah. That's the way she did. That's the only way she destroyed it.
Can you imagine?
Never tell. I'm banking.
Might straighten Trump out, man.
Wait,
you know, maybe he needs
a
good black woman.
I'm banking on Omarosa, okay? Omarosa for president.
Okay. Well, next week, the Trump administration, according to Today and Madam Huckabuck, that's what I like to call her, in a press conference. Yes, she said next week, Monday, the Trump administration is going to be handing out fake news awards. Well, I say, well, let's, you know, since Trump signed the order today disbanding the Voter Fraud Commission, the See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil Commission, I think the first fake news award goes to fake President Trump.
Yeah, he's lied some 2,000 times. They said he told about 2,000 lies in that office. You know, and
he
just
have the stones to accept that. You know, I said he doesn't have the stones to accept his own award that way. And I mean, if it's not coming out of Fox or some extreme right wing publication, you know, it's not real at all. And you're right about. I mean, I don't like to engage in name calling, but Sarah Huckabee is far worse than her predecessor. I mean, the deal is you could see him twisting in the wind, Spicer, whenever he was asked a question. There was something about his facial gesticulations that you could see he would turn a bright red, or you know that
he wasn't a good liar.
But this child scares me, boy. And her father has always scared me, but, you know, she's something
you know,
else.
I mean, she was good at it. When she first came out those first couple of times, she was great at spinning that stuff. But it's a matter of, they're lies. I mean, the spin, to a certain degree, is going to be a little bit of truth, a little bit of makeup stuff, a little bit of all that rest of stuff. That's why they call it spin. When it gets to the point of out-and-out lies, you know, it's like, and I think that Sean Spicer probably, he wasn't a good liar. And he wasn't someone who was good under pressure to tell bold-faced lies to somebody right in front of their face that the person they're talking to knew they were lying. See, Sarah and Trump, they can lie to people and don't care whether people know they're lying and look right in their face and know, I know you know I'm lying, but I'm still going to lie to you. That's disrespectful in my book.
She's paid to be disrespectful. She's paid to lie.
Exactly.
Okay? What's complicated about that? She's making big bucks. She'll tell you the world is on turning upside down.
Right.
If
well,
you give her
I mean,
enough
the thing
money.
Is, I think the whole administration's unraveling now. I mean, I didn't expect 2018 to start off as quickly with this. But, you know, I knew that they knew this book with Bannon was on the periphery. It was just a matter of time before somebody had a chance to really get into it. But, you know, this is required reading by everyone, because I really think this is going to tell the story until the Mueller investigation is complete. And what bothers me is that these Republicans, and I've heard this said on TV time and again, are just standing by and not saying anything about the discord, about no other presidency in the history of this country has ever gone through anything like this. Not even Nixon was as bad as this, you know?
Well,
come again?
Nixon was as bad as this.
I mean, the thing is, different time, but you know, at least his cronies stood by him. Everybody is concerned about CYA in the White House right now, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's unfortunate
Nixon was a government person. I mean, he was a politician. He was a man who worked in government, so he knew the workings of government. So he did have clearly there was some devotion to wanting to serve his country. Let's put it like that.
Yeah,
whether we know how much he wanted to serve it, Trump clearly is out for himself. And what happens is that he's so much out for himself, he's selling everybody out. I mean, he's got to be crazy. This man is crazy to think, to say that Steve Bannon, I fired him. He was never in any high-level meetings, this and that. And there's pictures of him. There's pictures of you, Steve Bannon, and Flynn.
Right.
And your son-in-law, Damien. You know, I mean, there's pictures of you guys in these meetings. So what are you talking about? And you praised him as the guy who won the election for you. So now you're going to turn around and say the guy is crazy? You look crazy. He's looking very crazy, you know?
That's the sad part.
So,
unbelievable.
I mean, and Bannon, at least Bannon is a guy who he seems to really believe in, whether he's pimping it himself, at least there's a track record of some sort of ideology, racist or whatever. At least he could say to that base, I'm true to my beliefs. This guy just jumped on board because it became advantageous. And he was and look at how he was trying to hook up his idiot son, his idiot son-in-law, his daughter. And I think that he really is going after those people, and it's good. You know, they said that he came in 2 weeks after that meeting, you know? And maybe he was like, these guys are crazy. This is treason.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I hope it sticks. I really hope it sticks, you know, I mean, and I hope, you know, the Mueller investigation, because, you know, just really speeds through now. You know, again, I know that the party, these midterm and pending elections are definitely going to be pivotal in terms of, you know, the power shift, because as long as this continues, we're going to be seeing a continued degradation of what this country stands for. And I don't think, after what he said about President Kim, you know, you could get any worse than that. You know, it's hard to go to sleep at night. I want Dennis Rodman's phone number, because he's the only person I know who I would trust talk to Kim to talk him out of it.
Crazy as that is, right? I mean, go over there and say, come on, man, let's shoot some foul shots and, you know, Ben Baker play some jazz. You know, but you said something interesting, Wayne. I want to revisit about the Republicans, about watching them stand by and allow this to happen. Because the difference with Nixon and these Republicans during Nixon's era and these Republicans is that it seemed as though, and I'm just going by what I might have learned and heard about, because I was quite young during that time, but it seemed that those Republicans at least said, this has got to stop. This
craziness has
got to stop. And I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, Barry Goldwater who went up there and said, you got to resign, of all people.
Right.
So, I mean, these Republicans now, they seem not to care about America as a whole. The whole, like you were talking about, the traditional concern about serving the country. They seem to have, just as long as their needs and what they want is met, the rest of the country can go to hell. And anytime you're willing to have an alleged pedophile that you're willing to work with, anytime you're willing to have this guy, this president, who lies boldfacedly to everybody, and everybody knows he's lying, then what are you really standing for? You're not standing for America. You're standing for yourselves. And I look at the people, all the people that voted for this guy that were mad that black people could finally walk around and honestly say, I feel like a real American, that Hispanic Americans could walk around and say that, that gay, lesbian, and bi and all those folks could walk around and come out and be a little bit relaxed, and immigrants of other than immigrants from Europe could come to this country and feel welcome. You know, we just came out of a presidency where the country was feeling good about itself. You had
exactly.
a decent man, decent family that was present. People were feeling the urge to try to do something better for the country, to really do that thing that Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. People were living up to that Kennedy-esque, Robert Kennedy type of vibe. Let's be Americans. Let's make America the best place it can be. This
mm-hmm.
guy took it to the exact opposite. Took it the exact opposite. And
in
what happened is there's a group of Americans, his base, that group of Americans who hated the fact that all of those other people were able to finally have a piece of this American dream and walk around. They hated that. So they went to the worst individual they could find. They went past Jeb. They went past Marco and Ted Cruz, went past Uncle Ben, and they chose the craziest talking dude they could find, the most racist, because after that very positive 8 years, they wanted to go here. And even when you hear them talking about the economy, they're talking about the economy is doing really good under Trump. That's the one thing. Because what are you talking about? I never hear these people talking about it's doing good because Obama set it up for it to do better.
Thank you.
Because
Thank
the last
you.
Republican drove the economy into the ground like his
yeah.
dad did before him.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear all these press people and the Chuck Todds and all these people meet the press talking about, the budget, the one thing of the economy – yeah, the economy is doing good because he inherited a growing economy.
Exactly.
So the continuation of the racism and not giving this black man the respect and his due diligence or his due respect for achieving the things that he achieved, because the country, as we all know, was on the almost going into another depression, and that's what he
yeah.
inherited.
Right.
And not to mention
and
with a Congress and a Senate that was trying to thwart him at every step of the way, would not work with him at all. So I question the validity of those people who claim to be Americans. And you talked about America being a certain place, Wayne. I don't know if it really is the place that we saw in the movies that they made up. Clearly it's not. Clearly
well,
the Indians weren't savages and the black people weren't second-class citizens and subhuman. So they
exactly.
made up a whole mythology of this country. Man, don't get
well,
me started, bro.
I tell you, you know, with all due respect, man, I mean, it is really getting scared. I mean, I went as far as the other day to inquire about my options of dual citizenship from the
yeah.
land of my heritage.
Really?
I thought about going back to Trinidad. I thought about it because, I mean, especially after this button business,
did
I called my cousin. I tell
you,
know,
did you give up
here? If I have that option, and I know this idiot's going to blow us to bits, I mean, it's
yeah.
not to say, listen, I want to be here. I'm in here for the fight. You know, the other day we had a chance to talk to Ben Jealous, who's running for governor in Maryland, and Cory Booker and a number of Democrats are really in lockstep trying to get all these people in position this year to get the vote. We are in dire straits, man. You know, we got to get this. I have to get some sort of control, you know, because, I mean, this tax bill that just recently passed, I don't know who is benefiting other than the corporations, and I don't see the trickle
They're
down with
wealthy.
That. I'm holding my breath with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to be so wicked as to change the tax formula in terms of if you live in a blue state that you could only cap your mortgage payments at $10,000 and could care less of its impact, you know, I mean, it's just despicable. I mean, what he's doing with health care, anything with Obama's imprint on it, he wants to see it erased. And to me, this is not the American. You may have a different vision, But clearly, this is just, I don't know what it smacks of, other than mediocrity and stupidity. You know, I mean, it makes no sense.
It smacks of pure racism, okay?
Yeah,
number one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everything else, I can't think enough of so many negative adjectives that I would have for him. I really didn't even want to, you know, spend this time talking about the president. He's pathetic.
The problem is
is pathetic.
I understand, Kay.
Yeah,
and we need, with all due respect, we have to talk about it because there aren't that many Kay Thompson live shows. I mean, there are shows out there, you know, dealing with the same subject matter, but the twist you know, people need to hear and understand, you know, it's just important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole credibility factor involved.
We may be making light of it, but you know, but this is really, really, very, very serious. We have a person in the White House who can do more than any other person on this earth. He can destroy the earth, the very ground that you walk on. He is that dangerous. And for him to play games, these little childish games, with what's the guy over there in China, you know, the other one, it's
North
insane.
Korea.
There
yeah.
is something wrong with this person, you know. And for him to, I can't even picture him, you know. He's like the devil incarnate. I'm telling you, he was put here for some reason. And I think it really is to maybe destroy, you know, America, maybe to destroy the world. He has these feelings of grandeur.
Well, as long as he can promote his agenda, we're going to have. And the sad part about this, and I heard this said the other day on one of the conservative networks, and it wasn't even Fox, but they were talking about the Republicans and the fact that they're not coming out, is that Americans now have been lulled into a thinking that, you know, a mindset, well, who cares, you know? There was a time when a lot of us would stand out, and I'm not saying that there isn't a political active movement out there looking to rail against what's going on, but it's just I'm concerned about the person who is reluctant to go out on election day and pull the lever down because they feel there's not going to be a change. You know, I'm talking about those folks who decided to sit out the last election because they felt, well, Obama's not running again, you know? And this is what bothers me. People have got to be inspired, you know, somehow to see the importance of what's taking place in November of this year and to go out and I'm not saying vote for the person I'd like to see elected, but go out and vote. It would make a difference, you know? People died for this opportunity.
Yeah. You know what's a good example? Alabama.
You make
people angry enough, you know, and then that jerk, he's a joke. He's a dangerous joke. And he's been all along. And now he's pathetic.
Yeah.
He is pathetic. And you don't slap black people in the mouth like so many times. But all those people came out, and it can be done, and it probably will be done with Trump.
One thing that is interesting that we're seeing the dynamics of Trump versus Bannon is that, and recognize this almost immediately, Bannon is the first Republican to say that it was treason what was done. Think about that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody else has been denying collusion, the word treason has not entered a Republican's mouth until this battle ensues. And I find that extraordinary because all of us who have been following this for the entire year that we are now engaged in since the new administration took office, we've been bandering this around for quite some time, saying what was committed were acts of treason. In fact, it goes back as far as the day after in 2009 on January 20th when the Republican Party signed a a letter of intent to make sure Obama's administration was a one-term administration, and that they would do anything and everything they possibly could to make sure that his administration failed. That in its own definition fits the defined terminology for treason. They are
mm-hmm.
government workers who intentionally signed an oath and saying that they would defy the Constitution and their jobs as elected protectioners of the Constitution. They committed treason, and they need to be brought down too.
Right.
Not just Trump, the entire GOP.
Well,
yeah, I mean, and the Democrats really need, you know, and going on the point you were talking about earlier, Wayne, we need to get people out there to be encouraged and whatever, and really want to vote. The Democrats need to really make their case, because we turn into the Democratic Party gets soft. We get
yeah.
soft. Republicans start talking all tough like they're this, they're that. And the Democrats, we get soft. We don't list our accomplishments. We don't blow our own horn. Our PR is horrible. It's terrible. I saw Chris Van Hollen on, congressman from, I believe, or senator from Maryland, talking about
mm-hmm.
this tax bill that the Republicans claim that every working person was going to get $4,000, was going to walk away with $4,000 that's listed in his tax bill. He said, where is their $4,000? So if that's the case, then make that an issue, Democrats, and say, this is what the tax bill said, and this is what the Republicans said they would do for you, $4,000. So every year we're going to see if you got your $4,000 and hold them to it. You know, a lot of things that Obama did, that he didn't blow his own horn enough to let the general public, you know, they're asleep, right? You got to
mm-hmm.
hit them over the head pretty much and do this whole PR campaign. They're asleep. You got to hit them over the head and do this whole PR campaign to get the majority of the population even paying attention. So if you're not out there blowing your own horn constantly and talking about the good,
exactly.
good one, which the Republicans seem to not only – well, they can't talk about the good they're doing. They're not doing any good. They can just talk about the lies and then make up stuff about how bad the Democrats are. But at least their PR program, like you were saying about the taxes, that they've been trying to change the tax code for at least the last 30 years. It's been their long-term
yeah.
goal.
And
now that they finally got it done, and they lay down with this despicable guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it's just disgusting. But I know you want to change the subject, Mom.
No,
gonna,
no.
Oh, go ahead. Because I got to segue.
You know one thing? Black women, we alone are not going to let Trump be elected again. He has insulted us to the core. And I've spoken to many, many, many women, and they can't wait to vote. And they are all gathering together to do this big movement, I understand. So black women will come out. We will speak out.
Well,
we will have our voices heard.
And that's what turned Kay, the election into reflection.
Yes, and Kay, you're absolutely correct, because just yesterday, significant to your comment about black women, I want you to consider this. The Mecca for black power base in this country is Atlanta, Georgia. And yesterday they swore in the 60th mayor, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
And as well as the city council president is a black woman.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta,
Biden's
Georgia.
Burning.
See what I'm
well,
saying?
And
here's something else. Here's a piece of history that I just found out yesterday from my contacts in Atlanta. That did you know that Keisha Lance Bottoms was the daughter of Major Lance?
Who's that?
The Motown singer.
Oh, really?
Mickey's Monkey.
Yeah, yeah. That's his daughter.
That's his daughter, or it might be granddaughter.
Wow.
But see, we have to look at the history and the impact of our ancestors who have given us
right.
the pathway to freedom and
yeah.
to see. Not just think about this. We all know why we celebrate Watch Night Service. Because it was about the Emancipation Proclamation. That next
mm-hmm.
day when we celebrated liberation. Do you also know that's the same day that Haiti celebrates its liberation?
Mm.
Mm.
See, history.
I didn't know either one of those
critical.
Things. the historian, Brother Byron.
Right.
I didn't know either one of those. I thank you for enlightening me. You know, we've been talking. I don't want
to. That's why I was smart enough to have Byron on, because
right.
he's a great historian.
Right.
Right, Byron.
Your check is in the mail.
There it is. Your check is in the mail. So, but I want to do a little segue because we want to move on from Trump and make it a little bit lighter. We want to talk about some movies and TV shows my mom has been wanting to talk about. And Wayne, you were talking about possibly moving back to Trinidad, and so you're going to downsize, right?
I've been downsizing for quite some time now, you know.
I
beg your pardon?
Yeah, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. There's this movie called Downsizing, and there's in the commercial, it's starring Matt Damon. It's supposed to be a pretty popular movie, pretty good. But in the commercial, they're pitched to downsize their whole life. Really, literally, they shrink the people to like 3 inches, 6 inches tall. And in one particular scene in the movie, this is part of the commercial, where Niecy Nash, star of Claws, is on there explaining to Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live and Ghostbusters and all those movies, Bridesmaids, was explaining to them how much money she would have. She was like, well, you got $100,000, $200,000 in the bank. When you downsize, that'll translate to $12 million. And they were like, what? You know. He's got a college buddy who did it. And so he's like, yeah, everything, your money goes longer because you're tiny. And we're rich, Wayne. You said you're going to move to downsize and move.
Well,
to
I tell
down.
You.
I'm just wondering, would you be a rich man had you, you know, I'm trying to do a cheap segue for the movie, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
not familiar with the movie, Eric, but it would make sense, you know, in terms
Sounds
of
good.
I wouldn't have to worry about these polar vortex issues that we have up here. The other thing is that the U.S. dollar versus the Trinidad dollar is 7-1. So for every $1 American spent, you know, I could get I'd have to shell out seven times more. But, you know, when I do the conversion,
man,
I'll be doing all right, you know.
How many houses do you have?
Well, we won't go into that now, you know.
But
I tell you, I'm at a point where I'm willing to get rid of all that in the world of Trump if this should continue, I tell you.
Speaking about movies, I have the solution, guys. Speak about movies. I have the solution to Trump. Jaws.
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 Yes. Any shark would send them back.
Oh, boy.
Any shark would throw him back.
Yeah, bring Bruce back, please.
Better still, let's send him back to the to the days of Shaka Zulu with the African American warriors.
You know, it's funny how you mentioned that, Kay, because I just recently found out that he has a preoccupation with eating junk food because he's afraid somebody will poison him. Did you know about that? It was in the news the other day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he fears that someone will poison him one day.
Because he thinks that that's why he's so much McDonald's and takeout, because he figures that's safely prepared.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a quick turnover. You know?
But yeah, so what there's, I mean, I don't know if either one of you guys have seen Downsizing. I haven't seen it, but I want to.
I saw it.
How was it, Brian?
I saw the movie. It's excellent. It's just when you think you got it, it flips and becomes really a very significant movie about our very near future and our ecology, as well as what is happening to our planet. And it's really well done. I highly recommend it.
Downsizing. Yeah.
It's excellent.
Who's in
it's
that?
Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig.
That's the one. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
What about?
I have to check that out.
Yeah, because it starts off humorously, but it ends up with a very significant statement about us all as stewards of our planet. It's brilliant. It's very brilliant.
Yeah, I was wondering what would that be. What were you gonna talk about?
Yeah, another one. Mudbound.
Right.
Oh yeah.
With what's the singer?
Right.
Mary Jo Blige.
Mary Jane.
She is plays a significant role, and she is absolutely wonderful. But the story itself, it's on Netflix.
Right. And Mudbone, yes. Mudbone is Mudbound. You guys probably heard about it. It's a Netflix movie. So you know what's happening now with a lot of the streaming services, and particularly Netflix, which but they're all doing a lot of their own original programming, their own original content. And Netflix, I think, probably is one of the first ones where people are actually releasing feature films. Not series, you know, not episodic series, but actual films on Netflix. And Mudbound is one of those. And they've gotten some Golden Globe nominations. I just saw a picture of Mary J. Blige online where she won the Palm Springs Film Festival for Best Newcomer. You know, Mary's a very good actress. If you've seen us, there are a couple of movies that she, about two other acting roles that I've seen her do. BET used to produce a number of movies back in the day. She did an episode, one of those. And she brings that, you know, Mary's a very serious person. She's been through a lot of stuff in her life, if you guys are aware or know a little about her. And she brings that to the work, you know, very serious. And it's really deep. I mean, you could see her in the work and that she's able to connect with some of this stuff. And she just comes across really good. I watched a little bit of Mudbound here with my mom. She's watched the whole thing and loves it, so I'm going to check it out when I get a chance. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
No.
I've seen it, and I can tell you that the thing that impressed me is that you know the look that Mary J. Blige brings to her commercial look. And you watch this movie, and right from the very beginning, and I can tell you, it didn't dawn on me until near the about two-thirds of the way through who Mary J. was, and I was blown away. I didn't know at all. Director Dee Reese, we have a new talent that's in our film industry, African-American women who are, and this is an all-women's crew. She wrote it, the director, every crew member in there is all women. And it hits you in the gut so hard that by the time you get to the end, I was literally tears streaming down my face because it was just powerful. It's powerful. And it's post-World War II in Mississippi. So we're not like talking about way, way back in slavery.
Right.
We're talking about 1945, 46, 47. And you're sitting there realizing just how bad racism is, was, still is in Mississippi and parts of our country that people just don't even want to acknowledge that this is still going on. But it really is.
Mississippi, goddamn.
Yep.
Another movie that I'm going to check that out, and that's one that we recommend here on the K Thompson Live Show. But one I got to check out, but I got to snatch my nephew so he can go with me, so I don't look that bad. I won't look bad going to see it, but Star Wars. My nephew Luca is a Star Wars head, and he's probably one of the only few.
And how old is Luca?
He's 11, and he's one of the only few family members that is a serious Star Wars head. Because, you know, when Star Wars came out, it was 77, 78, so we were in high school then, or just graduating high school.
Oh, really?
You know, it was a whole experience. It was a whole experience watching that Imperial cruiser. If you went to California today and was able to get some of their products that they have back then, that they have in California now that's available for sale. So if you had some of those type of particular products and you went to see Star Wars, it was a special experience. Particularly when you saw the beginning of the movie, when the long thing that you read there, in a galaxy far, far away. It starts out reading that. And it's a very three-dimensional effect, too, that Lucas put up there.
Yeah.
But then after that, a little, you know, you guys that remember, see the original Star Wars, that little ship comes by, and then the Imperial Cruiser just takes up the whole screen. So I'm a Star Wars head, one of the originals when it first came out. And it's nice to know that this generation, my nephew and those guys, his generation are into it. So that's usually my go-see Star Wars buddy. So I'm overdue. He already saw it without me with his dad, but he said he would go back with me since he nodded out a little bit. So there it is. I don't know if either one of you guys saw it.
Oh, it was very interesting. He nodded out.
They got Eric, a Black Jedi. You know? I don't know if either one of you guys saw it, but
I've seen it.
What'd you think about it?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. It is truly Disney now because Disney's formula for family is stamped all in it, and it's truly an homage to Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher.
Fisher.
I mean, it really is done well. You're going to enjoy it, and the fact that you're taking your 11-year-old nephew with you is saying
no,
a lot
he's
about
taking
you
Eric
wanting
with
to
him.
Go back to. He's taking you with him. It's indicative of the fact that, Eric, it's okay for you to admit you were young
right.
back then, okay?
Sometimes you need a cover. Sometimes you need a little
kid's
cover. Maybe you want to see that new cartoon, that animation. You need to borrow somebody's kid and take them. If you don't have any kids, you need to borrow some.
But also,
you need a guide.
Don't forget one of the key people in that. Whoopi Goldberg.
No.
Oh, really?
Wasn't
she in Star Wars? She's in the current one, or
no.
She played
no.
a role
yeah.
in
Whoopi Goldberg was on Star Trek. She was never on Star Wars.
Oh, Star Trek.
So
yeah.
She's a big Trekkie.
I know that much.
The Trekkies. The difference between the Trekkies and the Star Wars people. You can start a war. You got to get it right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you go to some of them Comic Cons. Some of them things you think everybody's nerdy. You'll start a something up in that place if you go in there and say,
"That's right."
On Star Wars.
But listen, let me tell you something
that's
right
why
now.
I'm not married now.
Listen, speak about Whoopi Goldberg. If anything happens to Whoopi Goldberg as the head of The View, I will never watch The View again. Color Purple.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great film.
Yes, they're all movies, but there were Whoopi Goldberg, and that's not all. Whoopi is brilliant, and not only is she brilliant in the movies, she is brilliantly endowed with a whole lot of intelligence on, you know, the View. Very political, very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
She has her facts, and she has lived long enough, you know, to understand Washington and politics. And the View is really, you know, remember Joy Behar, Wayne.
She's good too.
On there.
She's
but
good
anyway,
too, you know.
She's on The View. I was just had to plug that in. But also, there's another one I wanted to talk about. and I'm going to send Jamie Foxx in for Shango or whatever the name is that one. Django.
Django.
Okay.
Django.
Because he took care of the problem.
he
took care of the problem.
You know, we have the Netflix. My mom's getting caught up in all of those. Those are good movies, must-see movies. A little bit dated. I mean, they're a little bit older.
Really?
It's old, yes. It's four years old. I mean, there's a couple. I mean, I haven't been to the movies lately. I can't even remember. I think the last movie we saw was Sam Jackson, the Hitman movie, where the kid played. He had the bodyguard.
Yeah.
Sam was the number one hitman. So that was the last movie I saw, which was pretty good. I've been Netflixing a few shows, and I understand that a big show that's coming back is House of Cards without Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I heard that was brilliantly done. They eliminate every image of him. And the old man that replaced him was excellent, I heard.
I forgot the gentleman's
name.
Well, I don't think they've started. They haven't started the new episode, so I don't know. I don't know. From what I heard,
maybe I'm thinking of a movie that he was cast.
Yeah,
because I know
I think you're thinking about a movie. He was cast in a couple of movies, and it was recast by someone. But The House of Cards is a political show that he does, where he plays a Trump type character.
Right,
and,
right, right.
So
no, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't really
Robin
watch
Wright.
That as much, but. You're absolutely right. You know, I'm culturally deprived that way. Sorry.
So what happens now, you should check it out. It's a very good political show. So what happens now, the woman who plays his wife, Robin Wright, who is just as kind of despicable as Frank Underwood, I think they're going to center around her. So the point of what I'm trying to say is it should be really interesting how they work out what they're probably going to do, those of you that watch House of Cards, I don't know if you watch it as well, Byron, if you've seen it, but I anticipate that they'll probably act like Frank Underwood was assassinated,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his wife, who was the vice president, Claire, takes over. People have told me, I've heard through the grapevine, that that set was toxic because of Kevin Spacey's behavior. And
wow.
Sometimes I don't know other people.
Sure.
I haven't heard that he was despicable in other areas, although he's had this track record of a number of years of being this guy who does these type of things. But you know, sometimes actors, they get so caught up in the characters that they're playing, and it just started me to thinking when someone said it was a toxic set. He was playing a toxic character. So you can see, even in the TV shows, when he was, you know, he had like another day in the sun, this kind of gave him a resurgence to his career. And I could see when Kevin Spacey was on these shows and being interviewed and hosting things, I could see a little bit of the character of Frank Underwood in how he was vibing.
Yeah.
Just his whole feeling himself and real extra with it. And it might have been toxic where he thought, well, I could do whatever I want to do. I'm on a hit show. I'm Frank Underwood playing this character. And sometimes actors, you know, they start tripping out when they start playing certain roles. So, but certainly House of Cards is one of the good TV series that's on now that people watch.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Eric, because I've often wondered, you know, I've just wondered, you know, what does one go through? I mean, to get into character is one thing, but, you know, I guess you have to basically, become unglued or what have you. And I know, like for instance, not to plug my cousin, but, you know, she was just recently here a few years ago doing a movie, and she didn't want me to see her.
What's your cousin's name again?
What's Nia Long,
you know, Nia Long,
right? And the deal is that it's not to say that I have to go to the set of everything that she does, but you know, it's almost like as if you know she got into this whole philosophical discussion about why she didn't want me to be there, and I respected that. You know, I mean, I don't go to everyone's job because I know them. You know, I wouldn't do that to be disrespectful. I mean, if it was a thing that you were doing, Eric, I would you know, seek your permission. And if no was no, but what I'm trying to say, I guess, and maybe Byron, you may understand what I'm talking about, because you both are in film and acting and all that. But what is it that you know?
I was going to ask you why she didn't want you to come to the set. I don't know. It might have been that she had to really focus on something. Maybe it's an intense role or whatever. You know, if somebody wants to come visit, I usually don't have a problem. But sometimes you feel if you have a busy day or if it's an intense character, you really got to focus. If you have somebody visiting, then it's going to distract you, just like a regular job, right? You need to focus on your job.
Gotcha.
That might have been the reason why. In terms of the other thing and people kind of losing the connection with reality, the only time I experienced not losing a connection with reality, but I did a play where my characters end up crying and all that, and I those emotional type of scenes I could reach those pretty easy. At a certain point, the character has to be worked up at the same point every night. Comes to a crescendo, this particular thing happens, he breaks down. So what happened was that after doing it a number of times, like you know, you're doing a show 7-8 times a week. You know, and working myself up, I could see how someone, you know, if you don't know the tricks to make your character cry, if you really put yourself in that position, I need to cry because I'm thinking of a death of somebody else. The character is loose to somebody, and then you have to connect with that when you lost somebody. So you take yourself to a certain place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do that too often, I could see how some people, they say that that's what happened with the young guy who played the Joker, Heath Ledger. And one of the Batman that, you know, he was having issues with that, playing such a dark character. Plus, he was using, I think, heroin a little bit, and he ended up dying. I think he maybe OD'd or whatever. So that's what happened with him. So we got 5 minutes left. That's what happened with him. So you wanted to say, Mom?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about Spike Lee. Spike Lee's School Days, his early film, that changed a lot about films. People, black kids, they wanted to go into black colleges. Right. They wanted to go into movies. They became interested, and it was absolutely wonderful. I'm not even saying that because you were in it, Eric.
Well, yeah.
You and Bill Mann, right? Bill Nunn, because it was that scene, you know, when Bill Nunn, you know, made the connection. connection with the girl.
You know,
it was unreal.
Like
yeah.
It was so sweet. You know, the older you get, the more it seems like the movies you've seen in your life were like just yesterday. That movie was like 25 years ago, Ma, and I was in it.
Wow.
You look at yourself age instantly. You know, you look at yourself 25 years. But talking about that, you know, I have a buddy who's gotten married, his second marriage, and his wife is about half his age, about 25. He's 50. So, you know, when you are with someone who's younger, maybe you gentlemen might have experienced this. If you have, Ma, I don't want to know. But, you know, when you're with a younger a partner and you start talking about, you know, we always talk about the Godfather, we make Godfather references, you know. Even I'm talking to some people that might be a little younger and I'm making a reference about the Godfather. I say a line from a certain movie and they're like, huh?
Right.
I'm like, it's the Godfather. It's a classic. You know, so then you realize how old you are, but you also realize that nowadays this technology and this generation, they're so used to being in the here and the now, they seem not to have an interest in history. And even for actors and filmmakers, not to have an interest in the art that came before them, to get inspired by that, I find is really kind of a travesty, because I've always been in. Listen, I'm into the old TV shows growing up, the old movies. I watch Mannix every night on the MeTV network at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Let me tell you that.
Wow.
You know, so, okay. So I'm into all of that, you know, the classics. I mean, you got to know where you came from so you can know what you have to
do.
Okay, here you go, Ma. Take the mic. My mother wants to talk.
I have to tell you this. Mannix, the very first black woman to have a lead role in a TV sitcom was Gail Fisher.
Primetime television series.
Yep, it was Gail Fisher. Mm. Gail was born in Potter's Crossing,
woman.
New Jersey, right next to Rahway. I knew her. She was my friend.
Beautiful woman. Very attractive.
Gail
Fisher. Yes, indeed. Good actress.
That's just a good way to end the show, because we got about 2 minutes left. And I'm wondering, and I got a question for you gentlemen before we get off. Which movies are you going to see? Are you guys going to see some movies?
Well, I'm inspired now, Eric, because I don't get a chance to go out that much. You know, I'm somewhat deprived that way. But now that I've found out about Netflix, I think I will invest. And
check it out.
You know, I find myself going to Best Buy and buying films. I do want to see the new one with Idris Muhammad in it. It looked pretty interesting. Idris Alba. I can't think of the name of it, but I see it on TV. He's a lawyer.
Mountain.
Idris
Alba. Molly's Game. Yeah, that's about to go.
Yeah.
So we got to go. We got 90 seconds left. I will say one thing. Anybody that's interested in going to see The Iceman Cometh, starring Denzel Washington. It's an American classic play, and that's going to be on Broadway, directed by George C. Wolfe.
Wow.
For about 6 weeks, from what I'm hearing. So anybody that wants to. So thank you, gentlemen. I'll say goodbye first to our resident historian, brother Byron Saunders. Mr. Saunders.
Peace and love always, my brother and sister.
All right. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Once again, the legendary newsman. All right, Byron. Legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Thanks again, sir.
Oh,
which your expertise.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And once again, this has been the Kate Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am the person that's called the sun, and you are.
Kate Thompson, join us next week every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. for Kate Thompson Live.
Or you can listen to the show because it's archived, and you can listen to any episodes you want. All righty. We'll see you next week. Happy New Year. Bye-bye. Thank you.